This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And here we go, folks. Off to the races.
There's a lot of crossword puzzle clues that are about, like, horse races.
Wow. Really? What a specific crossover of knowledge.
Like, specifically, about, like, like names of horses that have won derbies.
That's not fair, because that's like, you can't Google, and there's just, unless you're Aaron Hannon from The Office.
That's like a niche
and have all of them memorized.
Upper echelon of white people that I'm just like not a part of.
Oh, I was deeply a horse girl for a while. In fact, I almost owned a horse.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me what it means to be a horse girl? I don't understand.
You knew so many 12-year-old girls who wore t-shirts with horses on it, and all they wanted to do was talk about horses and draw horses and ride horses, whether they actually did or not.
Oh.
You know a horse girl in your heart. It can't be explained to you.
In your heart. All right, fair enough.
Indeedio. But that's also not upper echelon anything.
I feel like derby is like going to the races.
That has nothing to do with horse girls. That's what horse girls have fantasies about someday.
Well, I feel like my version of horse girls were like Broadway girls, theater people.
Might have something to do with the people you surrounded yourself with.
I've never seen a show in my life.
Me either. That's actually more believable.
Yeah.
Brooke is a show fiend, as you know.
I'm a fiend. I'm a show hyena.
That's right. Okay.
You guys, fine. I'm going to take the reins here.
Take them.
I had one of the best days of my life.
I hope that was an intentional pun. You're going to take the reins?
Oh my God, a horse pun. I didn't even realize. No, it wasn't intentional.
Yes. Tell us about your peak life experience.
My peak life experience. On Sunday, I taught my 75-minute yoga class to Mama Mia. Bridget was in attendance.
I was. I survived. I had a blast.
Yeah, she crushed it.
I danced. If you don't follow Brooke, which you should be because you're one of our listeners, go and look at the photos and videos she posted, because they'll bring you joy and show you what a good teacher Brooke is.
And then Bridget took my actual yoga class.
Not even though you were subbing in. It's when you don't usually do.
What I mean by actual yoga is like sculpt doesn't count.
Oh, yeah. It's like yoga principles, but it's just exercise. It's squats and shit.
Yeah, it's like...
But that's what all of the core power I've done is. None of it is just yoga.
No, there's always like a core
moment. It's like
moment.
Exercise, yoga, yeah.
Belly up core is...
But yes, I did 2 hours and 15 minutes of yoga in about 18 hours.
And how do you feel?
Extremely sore, but good.
Yeah.
Not actually as bad as I thought I would be. I was worse last night, and then I woke up this morning and was like, I'm not going to use the dang grammars today. And I didn't.
I don't like dem grammars.
Neither. That's how I sent all my work emails today.
I was watching, have you watched Explained on Netflix?
Certainly not.
It's like 15-minute episodes where they explain things.
What? And like what kind of things, though?
So like this one that I watched was about the exclamation point.
Oh, fun.
And it like dives into like the invention of the exclamation point. And then also, it talked about work emails and how if a woman sends a work email, it's so fucked up. If a woman sends a work email with an exclamation point, it's like received 60% better than if a man were to send a work email with an exclamation point.
That's funny. I do use a lot of exclamation, not a lot, but like I use them. Usually there's one per email. Like I'm not excessive because I'll end up editing the other ones out. Mm-hmm. Because it just sounds so, I don't know, particular to have everything with exclamation points. But
yeah,
I can't say I've ever received an email and been like, from a dude with exclamation points. I am really actually very particular about people emailing me because as an assistant, especially a personal, which I basically was a personal assistant for 2 years, I learned a lot about people very quickly by the way they would email me, by the attention they would pay or what they would say or how people would interact with me specifically. And so I notice a lot, but I cannot say I'm that nitpicky about exclamation points. Definitely women use them more though, no question.
Yeah, I mean, I use them like excessively when I'm talking to like you.
Oh, I mean in my like personal online life, punctuation is free form expression.
True.
To be used and abused.
What would you say that your spirit punctuation is? I was having a conversation about this on Sunday as well.
Honestly, probably I would like to say interrobang, which is the name for the exclamation point question mark combination.
Yes, they talked about that on Explained.
Oh, cool.
Probably actually would like it a lot.
I'm sure I would. I love that shit. Explained shit, you know?
There's like really interesting ones too.
But honestly, if I'm being my boring true self, I'm a semicolon.
Okay. Do not talk down about the semicolon.
No. All I mean by it is that part of the reason it's me is because like I cannot not be verbose. And I love a semicolon. See, I am a sorcerer with them. And I think it's just a way to have smarter, verbose writing. Okay. I've been forced to use them and perfect them.
I'm going to posit that is because we were talking about how because I was like, I'm verbose. Like, I'm a comma.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a comma.
I'm a little pretentious. I'll take it.
But I'm like, I have so much respect and admiration for the semicolon. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite punctuation. Mm-hmm. And then I got upset because we were like, oh, of course this mm-hmm. person's a semicolon. Mm-hmm. Like it makes me, and I'm like, because Kyle said that, and I was like, semicolon's my favorite punctuation. I got upset.
I want to know what our guest's punctuation is.
All right,
is.
We have a guest. Put the mic to your face.
My roommate of the pod.
It's back-to-back roommate time.
Well, I don't know. I think Alex gets categorized as your brother first.
He is my brother first and my roommate second. Although,
yeah,
we've been roommates.
It's okay. Ari's my brother.
I'll take it.
Hey, Ari. Oh, yes. You'll take it? Such ferociously responded love there.
Yeah, fine.
It's brother, whatever. All right. I think we did this bit last time we had you on the pod briefly, too.
Yeah,
so
probably.
Fun. So fun.
Let's start out strong, you know?
Ari Herschel Shapiro, welcome to the podcast.
What was that last name?
Ari, Herschel, Shapiro.
Herschel
welcome.
And the Hanukkah Goblins, baby.
You guys, it's freaking Rosh Hashanah.
Yes.
Shana Tova,
motherfuckers.
To all the listeners.
Oh, we're going to talk about Judaism so much this episode.
I hope
even
not,
though it's not about Judaism at all.
I know a few things about Judaism.
I sent Lashana Tova, just made me think of the fact that I sent Brooke a meme this week that was both Jewish and specifically about Broadway, and she didn't get it for the first time in both of our lives. I was the one who knew the reference, and I could not believe it.
I didn't get it. Today I was talking to my friend Maddie. Oh, yeah. No,
there is a Broadway actress, she's been nominated for a bunch of Tonys, named Tova Feldshe. She also plays the mom and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She's a badass. And when I went to go see Oh Hello, she was like the guest they pulled up out of the audience, which is the only reason I know who she is. Yeah. It's not because of her other stuff.
Yeah.
And so someone's guest was like, tell my friend celebrating Lashana. And then it was just a photo of her because her first name's Tova.
Tova.
And I was really proud of myself. And I sent it to Brooke being like, I'm really proud I got this. And she was like, I don't. And it was the only moment that will ever happen in our friendship.
I don't know. You've been involved in Jewish culture for a while now, Bridget.
Judaism, sure, but I will not pretend in this room sitting across from my two closest Jewish friends that I know more than you
test
do.
My blood.
Certainly not. Wouldn't pretend about Broadway. Although maybe I would say I maybe know more about Broadway than you do, Ari, only because I've spent time with people who care deeply about it by osmosis.
Yeah. Yeah. Specifically
Broadway. Ooh.
I spent 3 years dating someone who's made it his life's mission to know everything there is to know about Broadway.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about me?
No, we've only been dating for 2 years.
That's true. Bridget and I have been dating for 2 years. And we're celebrating.
Can you believe?
Can you believe?
It feels like
congrats
forever
to the Queer Eye crew on their Emmys. Proud of them.
But today my friend Maddie, I was like, oh, it's Rosh Hashanah, Shana Tova. She's like, I don't know how to say that. And I was like, Shana Tova. And she goes, Shana Tova. Oh, I guess I just said it. And I was like, yeah, you just have to repeat after me.
That's not a trick.
I don't know how to say that.
It was really, really funny.
Ari, will you introduce yourself to us in whatever manner you would like?
Who the fuck am I?
And well, what do you think you're doing here?
What do I think I'm doing here? Well, hello. My name is Ari Herschel Shapiro.
If you didn't catch that the first six times.
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I don't go by
Herschel. Go Pack.
Those Midwestern Jews, they're the least trustworthy of them all.
Guys, if you've been waiting for a shot of testosterone from this podcast, I'm ready to bring it to you.
Drum roll, please. We have a straight white male on the podcast.
I spent all the weekend best watching football.
Like, really, actually. Better. To be fair, it's like opening time, right? Like, the season is happening, so you just get to plunge yourself in.
Ari and I were supposed to go to a sports bar on Sunday, but it was raining, and I literally, like, Bridget can attest to this. After I taught the 75-minute Mamma Mia sculpt, a couple of us went out for, like, a diner. It was very Sex in the City.
It was.
And I sort of just, like, shut down.
Like, slowly as our bellies filled and as the class hit. And I think for Brooke, as the, like, sheer adrenaline rush of the best 75 minutes of her life faded, she needed to go home, you know?
I cried at the beginning and at the end. Mm-hmm. It was, like, truly... And it was like in all seriousness.
I'm here to attest that the whole class had a fucking blast. There were people there who didn't know what they'd walked into who had a blast. There were a bunch of Brooke's friends, but not just Brooke's friends. She pulled in like 35 people for this class.
It was really amazing. It was like truly one of the most special things in my life.
I wish I could have sculpted with y'all.
Well,
I
was tutoring. We're doing it again in October.
I was just going to say, she nailed it so hard. It's going to be a series. So everyone get ready. Gird your loins.
Can I tell this story? Because I don't think I told Bridget this. You can tell me if I need to cut it.
Okay.
So when I bailed on Ari, he called me. And he was like, oh, well, I'll see you tomorrow. Which we ended up bailing on each other. And he was like, it's fine. I'm just going to need you to double come for me. And I was like... What? He's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I mean, I guess I can do that. And so I like said something mean to him. And he was like, why would you say that to me? And I was like, you told me to come for you. And he was like, no, that's not what I said. He said comfort.
Oh, see, my brain went somewhere dirty first. And I was really confused what was happening. As with last night when Ari told me I could come sit on the couch, but he was leaning over fixing something. And he said, just don't sit on my face.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I mean, my head. That'll hurt my ear. Please.
Also, would just like to give a real fast shout out to Ari's lovely girlfriend, Emily, who we adore more than anything and talk about constantly. Ari, we interrupted you introducing yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You should do that.
Hey, y'all. This is so
we literally
exciting.
Did not get
I'm
past your
so
name.
I'm so nervous and excited.
You should not
podcast.
Be.
My name is Ari Shapiro. I am a straight white man.
From Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
To be clear,
he's Jewish.
I don't actually
We've learned
have a lot.
Lot
of pride about that.
You do have Packer pride,
he actually
though.
Wears
Packer
a,
pride.
He wears a name tag that says straight
mm-hmm.
white male.
That's a Bo Burnham reference.
It is, and it's excellent. Thank you so much.
I'm the crossover between all of my sports podcasts and this one, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing.
Yep, they are.
I listen to a lot of Bill Simmons. Anyone?
Yes.
Literally, I just actively yawned.
Brooke yawned, but I don't think it was on purpose. I think it was...
Do you know what I did, actually, speaking of? You know what I listened to? The only Bill Simmons episode I've listened to is the one where he and his 13-year-old daughter interview Bo Burnham, of all
so
people.
Good, right?
It's so good, about 13, yeah.
And, like, he's, like, very respectful, and the daughter's clearly, like, in awe of Bo Burnham.
But he's also, like, wants to hear everything she has to say, so genuine. He's the best person.
I like
I'm
Bo
obsessed
Burnham
with him.
I do. Like
it's an original crush for me that has maintained itself.
Yeah, he worked out.
Hey. Yeah, he, all the way
those,
around.
Yeah, those OG YouTube stars.
Oh, yeah. It's really fun to listen to him talk about those days because he just did all the like press tours for
eighth grade,
and talking about him being like a theater kid and his whole process. And because he was supposed to go to NYU and he ended up not.
Yeah, he didn't go to
and
school,
he just made it fucking work.
But that's like such a foreign life to me. Like the idea of not going to school right after high school. It was
and
never
so
an
many
option.
People who didn't go to college are people who I look up to for the like dope ass careers they've put together for themselves and like lives.
I actually had my experience in the past year was like I got close to someone who didn't graduate college and I never thought that I would ever do that. I was like, if I had known that like going into it, I would have judged I think, in a way mm-hmm. that I'm not proud of.
Yeah, it's a good thing. That's what life is, though. Like, it teaches you through exposure, hopefully at its yeah. best moments, and then you, yeah. Ari, what's your experience with Sex and the City?
My experience with Sex and the
City. Hi, Bridget.
Oh, hi, Brooke.
Hi, everybody.
And welcome to Splat,
the podcast.
Where me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you paused, so I went for it.
Me, Brooke.
And me, Bridget.
Talk about
Sex in the city.
10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
There it is.
Sorry, we wheeled it out for you.
And Ari.
And Ari.
Ari, what is your experience with Sex in the City? Sorry. Okay.
So my experience with Sex in the City, I was on the pod briefly a few weeks ago. If anyone remembers.
Your roommate doing a podcast is the experience you have.
I was roommate doing the podcast. I was the roommate, guys. It's me. My exposure with Sex in the City is limited. I've had a couple of episode exposures.
You've never like intentionally one, just watched by yourself?
Yeah, I've definitely never watched by myself. I've never super intentionally watched either. Like, I've mm-hmm. watched with people when they were watching, and I've never like not enjoyed myself. Like, mm-hmm. it's always been a pretty I think a pretty good show. Mm-hmm. Nothing stands out to me as aggressively terrible, certainly. And in fact, in watching this episode, I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I think that, like I said last time, it clearly inspired so much excellent television for years to come, including shows that are on today.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had, yeah. had more.
I think its legacy today is powerful still. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The show maybe isn't by itself.
I do think that there is definitely a stigma. Like, I just don't know how, as a straight white man, I can just, like, I don't know about white. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But as a straight guy, I don't know. I guess it doesn't.
What did you before exposure. Today? But, like, what is the like impression that you had of the show?
I think the impression that I had of the show, without like knowing that my roommate and best friend does a podcast on it. Two of my closest friends do podcasts on it.
It's okay. Bridget is your roommate and best friend, and I am.
And Brooke is my no one. And so I think that Brooke is irrelevant, as she said earlier today.
I am.
Pick which one of us you hate and stick to it.
Me, right. It's me.
It's going to be Brooke this time.
But the two previous times he's been on this, he's refused to give me any love. God, right. Now we're fighting about who he hates more. I love it.
I thought it was only one time.
Can you move the mic closer to your face?
Yeah, so totally. Is this better?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Previously I would say that I think the easy stereotype is like, oh, Sex in the City, that's for ladies. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's like it's like about
which
lady
it like aggressively
problems.
Is and marketed towards too, yeah.
But I think that the conflicts are super relatable, and I think that especially in watching this, and we'll get to it obviously, but the actions of men on women, I think that it's a really interesting perspective of like zooming out and saying, okay, so what are these norms that we've I'm getting so Northwestern on this but what are
I
the,
love it
what are the norms that we have established
on this pod.
Yeah, and it feels like this is discourse, like the show is discourse, mm-hmm. where it examines what a guy does, and then two different really valid perspectives on like, okay, well, I think he was feeling this, okay, I think that he was feeling this, and that there is no necessarily right answer because it's people.
Bridget,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, because I don't think Ari has an answer, which...
Well, I want to know what his instinct is. He still has to answer for himself. Yeah. If you think right now.
Based on this episode?
Sure.
Or like in general, because I feel like you could probably rattle off the stereotypes Charlotte. Of who you are. Honestly, that fits for me. Hundo P.
I think he's a Steve.
I would say he's more Charlotte than Steve. I think Steve's in there, but I'd see the Charlotte.
Is Steve Samantha's?
No. Richard.
No, I meant, is it Miranda's?
Baby daddy, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see Steve. I even,
there's definitely
when we were watching,
I
was like, is he Jewish?
No, he's not.
As we learn.
What a great segue.
Well, first, how long have you lived in New York?
Oh, I've lived in New York for two and... How long have we lived in New York?
Basically two, exactly.
Almost 2 years in this apartment, but... Mm-hmm.
But then you came in like May-ish.
Yeah, I came in May. Yeah.
And what is a... Have you... Can you think of like a very like New York moment? We call them like Sex in the City moments, but...
Honest, this is... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the other night, I was with Emily, who we just shouted out.
the best girl in the world.
What up? It was her last night in New York, and so we went to Barcade, which is a lovely bar. Barcade, as you might guess. And then we went to Veselka, which is a classic.
I fucking Ukrainian. Love Veselka. I've been craving it.
Ari was mansplaining this entire night to me. He was like, it's Barcade. It's this bar in the West Village.
I'm going to say real fast. It's not mansplaining. It's just Ari-splaining. That's just how he moves through life.
And then he was like, and then we got dumplings.
Erring on the side of helpful information. No, it's not. I promise.
We got dumplings at this place, pierogies at this place in the East Village.
It's called...
And I was Veselka. Veselka.
It is like world famous, but still.
Emily had never heard of it. Emily? No, hadn't heard of it. And so then we went and got gelato at Il Laboratorio del Gelato, which is my fave gelato spot. I got red bean and dark chocolate orange.
Yum.
So good.
What
was that?
I said, was that the whole night?
No. And then we went to Little Italy after our gelato inspiration.
Literally.
And we had drinks and cannoli, and then we came back to...
I thought you were going
to
say we had drinks and canoodled.
Canoodling.
Canolo.
And the real cannoli. And then we came back to my apartment, and Bridget was around, and we played Hanabi.
When I got back at like 1 a.m., and then we played Hanabi.
And then we split a bottle of Prosecco. And
Hanabi, the best game in the world.
Hanabi, the greatest game. Shout out, Hanabi!
Hanabi!
And then she was actually looking to do a podcast at some point, and so she did like a mock interview on me, which ended up just being like us having a conversation and us recording it too, at like 3:15 in the morning after Hanabi. So it was
The fuck was happening in your room, actually. Because I could hear it happening, and I was like, what are they even talking about?
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, I'm not going to spoil anything.
No,
can I just say that Emily has the best laugh of anyone I've ever heard in my whole life.
She also has the best face.
Haircut.
Yeah, I know.
It's the best.
Bob.
Just our weekly.
Emily Love Sesh.
Emily Love Sesh.
This is not to stop talking about your.
No, that was the end of my night.
So not to detract from your New York experience, but would like to call attention to this Hollywood Reporter article that actually my old boss texted to me with some choice emojis. Sarah Jessica Parker says Sex and the City looks tone deaf 20 years later. Basically, she says you couldn't make it work. You couldn't make it today because of the lack of diversity on screen, which is very right there. She says, I think it would feel bizarre. And the point is people have been talking about like a reboot, and she's basically like, you couldn't reboot the show without changing the show fundamentally. Mm-hmm. She was like, I'm not opposed to a reboot. It just wouldn't be Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. And I think it also...
I'm sure the fact that like Kim Cattrall hates her wouldn't help.
Well, they wouldn't be in it is the point. It would be a different cast, like a literal reboot.
Oh, yeah,
and she was like, which would be the way it would have to be done. She was, I think, basically, she just wants Sex and the City to be done for a lot of reasons.
It's Broad City. It's the closest we're ever going to get.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would argue Girls is way closer.
Yeah.
Having not watched it, but.
I think that world, yeah.
She also has a lot of good thoughts about politics, but wholeheartedly supports our girl Cynthia, and that's all that matters.
Oh, nice.
Shall we dive into the episode?
Let's dive in.
This episode is called Unoriginal Sin. Not to be confused with Original Sin.
It's kind of an unoriginal episode.
It's pretty lame.
There's just like not really that
Carrie's
much.
Carrie's just lamenting about how like because she's not in a relationship, she can't write about being
she's
in a relationship.
She's also wearing wedge sandals with
socks. But here's
socks.
My cue for you. Before she was dating Big and Aiden, wasn't she just like going on dates with people and having sex? Like why can't she just go on dates?
I think the point is she feels differently now. She's been through these like two loves.
She
feels later. She also says something about a 36-year-old woman, ostensibly about herself. And I was like, you're not 36. Anyway.
Her hair looks so good there, though.
I like the short haircut.
Yeah, but she's wearing like a fucking shmata.
Yeah. Over a long... So they're... Okay.
Shana Tova.
Okay. So the four of them are at brunch having their weekly connection. And they all order their drinks. And...
They're talking
their
about
food.
How Carrie has nothing to write about.
She says she literally wrote about French fries last week, and it comes to light.
And then Miranda's like, it was sweet. And Charlotte was like, it was cute. And she like looks expectantly at Samantha, and Samantha's like, I didn't have time to read
At first she's like, French fries. And then they're all like, hello. And Samantha's like, yeah, I didn't read it. Sometimes I don't have time to. Carrie's like, great. I'm irrelevant even to my friends, because she's concerned. She's gotten a call from her editor, and she's like, he's going to fire me. I'm sure that's it.
It reminds me of like supporting our
because
friends
she's not getting
arts.
Laid.
I was like, can you imagine if I expected people to support me every like if I had like a weekly thing like a podcast maybe. Mm. And I expect, we expected, like, we have no expectations for our friends to listen to this.
I am very pointedly anti. Like, a lot of people will ask me about it very genuinely and then be like, I haven't listened yet. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no, I don't care if you ever listen. Thank you for asking. I would not expect. But at the same time, you know, you're friends and you would hope. I think it's a little funny they, like, shame Samantha for it.
It's a weird expectation.
Yeah.
It's a weird, really weird expectation.
Basically, yeah. Carrie thinks that because she's not writing about sex anymore, they're going to fire her. Because it's now in the city instead of anything else.
Right.
She's and like, then they all order food. And as they give their casual orders, Samantha drops. She, like, says her order. And she says, I'll have the fruit plate and I'm back with Richard.
Bum, bum,
and boom. Everyone looks at her very dramatically.
Charlotte says, Richard, who we're all plotting to kill, which I think is a fair question to
honestly,
ask.
Honestly, I resonate with that a lot.
I do too. And Samantha also, nope, Charlotte in her indignation does a like V and like licks her tongue through, which is a very...
Didn't he do that?
That's like the theme of this.
Oh my God. I have the thing we can post for that.
Perfect.
That's such an intense sign, though. Yeah. I feel like it's so viscerally violent. Well,
when I glanced at this episode, the summary was like, Charlotte makes an obscene gesture. And I was like, that's how noteworthy this episode is that this moment gets put into the summary. So
so nothing else happened. We got past that moment and nothing happened.
And the rest of the episode is just 26 minutes of nothing.
Cynthia Nixon's hair looks reasonable.
It's a different color and different cut yet again than it was last week.
And later in the episode.
Samantha's basically trying to justify to them.
Richard basically says that he was scared and he was in over
his
head.
Because he's never felt like he, you know, this about anyone but Samantha. So he did dumb things. And Samantha's like, yeah, he's drawing. And you know what? If it's just sex, it's just sex. Like somehow she's had this like radical... complete opposite she's feeling like, of last week.
I know he loves me. I'm going to believe that he's sorry. And Carrie's sort of like, okay, we'll respect your choice.
And the other two are rolling their head. Charlotte is literally like slumped down in her desk like a teenage boy who doesn't want to respect the teacher.
Carrie does this really savage thing where she's like, okay, how about this for a column? Desperate women who will believe anything. And I'm like, there it is. There's the rivalry. Bring it to light. Bring it up.
But I think something that they talk about also is the expectation that like, well, he, like, you know, just kind of fell into hooking up with this person.
Into her pussy.
She uses the word pussy really casually, by the way.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, they if there's that. Another That's pussy Samantha. That... Okay. Yeah. Like, if there's another pussy that goes by. And I was like, whoa!
Yes, welcome.
Ari, how do you feel specifically about the word pussy?
It makes me feel uncomfortable. Just yeah. Because I feel like it's like...
More or
like
less aggressive. Uncomfortable than when someone says vagina.
Oh, definitely more uncomfortable than when someone says vagina.
Really?
Vagina feels very anatomical.
But yeah, like, I guess. Like... But vagina feels weirder to me.
Really?
I could talk about pussies all day.
And
calico.
Sex
black.
But I think that the expectation that a guy...
Tabby pussy.
Like, could fall... Tabby pussy.
That's what I call mine. The tabby. The tabby next
the tab,
door.
The tab.
Street pussy.
That's right.
God.
You guys saw when I realized our
street
local...
Street pussy.
You know Parkside Z? The bodega.
Shout out Parkside Z.
Shout out Parkside Z.
Deli
you know, have
and
you ever
grill.
Looked at the incense they spell?
No.
They sell? Excuse me.
Oh, no.
Sex on the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Warm pussy.
Right.
Insane.
It's my so vagina bizarre. Just closed.
There's one called Orgasm. Yeah, I know.
You said that no? And it literally That's went.
Oh, sorry. It's not even You're warm not pussy. It's sweet pussy.
Sweet,
so we're going to get some sweet pussy on the way home, Arian. Oh break you of your uncomfortability. That's not a word. What were you saying about
pussies?
About Richard falling into.
I think that that's silly. I think that we all make choices very consciously and that like.
Yes.
You know the ramifications of your actions, you know? Like
it doesn't matter how drunk you are, it doesn't matter how lustful and sad or whatever.
There's like
you're in charge.
Right, you're in charge, right? And so the idea that like, well, we'll forgive him because he's like, you know, he's not even in control of his own penis. It's like that's fucking I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
It
Pardon
is.
My language.
You can curse. We just said pussy for like 5 minutes.
Well, something I was going to say, I mean, this particular thing in this episode got to me quite a bit, that whole concept of just like he fell into it, because I pretty recently have had someone try to justify fairly terrible things to me by telling me a story in which I was like, it's actually, it was funny retrospectively how little this person could hear about what they were saying, because they spun me a story in which it was like, here's the vacuum I live inside of, and here are all the accidents that fell into each other to make this thing happen that I had absolutely no control or participation in. And then I did this terrible thing, but obviously this vacuum of choices that I live in and didn't make for myself. It's just like eye-rollingly. I mean, it's why her friends are vacuums.
It's where trash goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's well said. I think it's I think it's a cheap excuse, and it's a way to.
And I think her friends see through it here.
Right, and I think that
it's like, baffling why Samantha. Samantha does too, but she's choosing.
I have a fear though that will resonate later.
Okay,
so let's talk about Miranda and Steve.
Steve brings up that he wants to have baby Brady baptized.
You just say that 10 times fast. Jewish in this. I'm
baby,
sorry,
baby,
guys.
Baptized. Nope, I can't even say it once.
He's basically like, my people want this. My family is Catholic, and I know we're not really involved, but it would mean a lot to them. And Miranda does this thing. Thank you, expert. Miranda does this thing where she's like, dude, I don't believe in any of that.
They're talking about a lot about hell.
Yeah. And Steve has a fairly good point, which he's like, okay, if you don't believe it, then it's just water on the baby's head. And could you just go along for this one day? If it doesn't mean anything to you, it doesn't mean anything to you.
I really oscillate between thinking Steve is hot and not. But to this episode, he looks hot.
I think it's an interesting idea, though, that like what we're I just keep on Northwestering. It's a really interesting idea of like, okay, well, if it doesn't mean anything to you, then like, why can't we just do it and then move on? Because it does mean something to her that the child is not raised
Here's
with
the
religion.
Thing.
You know, like it's...
If I was in this situation, I would have the exact reaction as Miranda.
Yeah.
But I also think that I would acquiesce as she does, because I think, I agree with you. It's a weird, you're like, of course, there's always something on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, not doing something is also something, or doing something means something.
Right.
But I think in this point, or I think in this case, his point to her is that like, you aren't actively, there's no hurt by this, because if Miranda wants it to be, it's a day. It's literally a day, and it's not like baptism is going to like follow Brady and like be important in her life.
But it also like Miranda didn't want a baby shower while the my neighbors are pouring wine.
Yeah, she doesn't even really want like ceremony, you know? Like she doesn't want to do all of the baby things that are these like traditional ascribed, no less than you throw a religion
and
you don't
you
participate on.
It, yeah.
I get it too. I get her aversion, but I also like I think Steve has a pretty good argument. And I would say, of course this is the scenario they've planned for each other. They've like made this happen. But for someone who's like fairly uninvolved in his baby's life in a significant way, and whose family is certainly uninvolved, I think he's been really chill, and this is like a pretty small thing to ask about his human baby to at least have the conversation, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's interesting. It's like starting a baby, like the baby has no choice, so it's like all a parental decision.
But I would agree, if you think it's nothing, then like it's nothing. And worst case scenario, the baby's now blessed and won't go to hell. So, you know.
Right. Worst case scenario.
Won't go to hell.
Bridget's
Jews don't believe in hell.
Yeah, we don't believe in hell.
That's why
everybody
Judaism's better.
Take a drink every time we talk about being Jewish.
Bruh, bruh, shana tova.
Oh, bruh, bruh. Dip those apples in those honey. Honey.
Tasty, tasty.
So Richard is with Samantha, and she
like,
does the obscene gesture.
Well, she's like, my friends don't believe you.
And she's like, listen, every time a hot guy, I can't speak. Basically, she's telling him that her friends don't approve, which I also, everything about the way Samantha handles getting back together with him makes no sense for her, for him, for any of it. Mm-hmm. And he pulls out a ring and he's like, unless Miranda wouldn't approve, and basically is like, look what I can give you.
And it's a beautiful canary diamond. And I imagine that a canary diamond is something that's worth a lot of money and is invaluable.
No matter what diamonds in the title.
Yeah. He says, don't worry. It's not for that finger. It's for this one. And points to
her
middle finger.
So when you flip me off.
He says, I'll try not to cheat and eat.
When I'm scared. When she flips him off.
Oh, sorry. I forgot we buried your bar 700 feet underground.
I'll try.
And
I just want
to
say,
trying to
plan her. She joked earlier that her next album, her next article would be about like comparing men to socks, basically.
And it says, Bridget, would you like to?
Men as socks. Some men are Argyles. Safe socks. This column socks. You are definitely getting fired. Just wanted to say, this is, in 2018, her drafting tweets. Bad jokey tweets that would be related to like her column or whatever. And just like, I see it there. And this made me laugh so much.
And now she's playing this weird game with Charlotte at lunch and she's wearing this cap. She looks like the Scottish villain from Kim Possible. She's wearing like a weird kilt hat.
Basically, they're playing a game called 100, where they both look at 100 men. And if they would sleep with who walk by on the street, if they'd sleep with them, there's a yes. If they wouldn't, there's a no. Ridiculous. And then Charlotte's like, I have seen 8 out of 42. And how many do you have? And Carrie's seen none who she'd fuck out of the 32 she's seen go by.
She's like, get men who are good looking. I've never had to try in bed.
They also have such specific masculinity prescriptions in this show as much as they do about femininity. Because at one point, Charlotte's like, what about the guy with the dog? And Carrie's like, ugh, not a dachshund guy. Like, if he can't dachshund, I always forget. I see it visually in my head and say it wrong. A dachshund.
That's one of my favorite things about you. What are some of other words that you do that with?
I do it with a lot of them.
It's like
I see the spelling first and then I can't stop myself.
It's like one of the most endearing things.
Even when I know how to say it. This podcast is just a record of me doing that with things, honestly, just missaying things because here's an example. Watching Game of Thrones, we watch it with captions and I was unable to not say Caitlin for Catelyn because it's spelled with an E in it. And I was like, I'm going to say Kate. I've trained myself finally, but it took, I don't know, 3 seasons before I would stop saying Caitlin because I would see it in my head first.
Well, also your sister.
Wait, really quick. Can we talk about hats? Women with hats? I have a question about this.
Yeah, like, I would love to talk about this.
I've been out like with like literally it wasn't like my lady, it was a friend. And there was a big
like
group
with a girlfriend with a girl, of yours with a friend who you weren't seeing. Yeah,
right. And she was wearing a hat and that was and she was invisible and but she was wearing a hat in this dream. And that's the only time I've ever gone out with a lady with a hat on.
I almost wore a hat when we were going to Brooklyn today. I almost wore a hat.
What's the question?
Do you do hats?
I love hats.
Special occasions. I love a baseball cap.
Love a baseball cap.
I have a wide brimmed hat that
I was going to say, like, for the most part, when I put a hat on, I feel too ridiculous to walk out of the house with it on. So it's a special occasion thing. Yeah. And a wide brimmed one is probably the only, like a big floppy like sun hat. You know, if you're going to the beach or like a somewhere.
I like have this one hat that I love, but I'm like, am I that girl that wears
exactly.
this hat?
You have to be someone.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be a that girl of some kind.
But maybe I'm
Carrie
that.
Is certainly being, she's trying to be a McDougal here and it's failing. You love a hat. Just a baseball cap.
I like a baseball cap when I'm like hiking or when I'm doing something. The
Have
other
you
day
ever
I wore
worn a non-baseball hat?
Do you mean like...
Like is like there an occasion beanie? Where you've worn a... Yeah, beanies, sure. But I mean like, have you ever worn a fedora type hat? No, ever?
Never.
See, that's pretty rare. And I'm going to say those fall into two categories too. 97% of the fedora wearing category is like mouth breathers who, you know, we feel some kind of way about. I would say there's 3% who wear a fedora, pull it off, and then you hate them because they're pulling off wearing a fedora.
Yes. Fergus.
Yep.
Fucking Kiwi.
Yep.
I also think that, like, I don't know, I'm putting another number on it, but I'd say, like, 92% of men who wear fedoras are going bald.
Yes.
And I am hashtag blessed.
True.
To have my hair.
Jews.
And so I just don't, Jews. And so,
take a
hair,
drink.
Hair everywhere. And I, like, Gag. Just feel lucky, you know, that I don't have to wear a fucking fedora.
You would not, that would not be the way that you not combated. If you combat baldness with a fedora, that's basically screaming, I'm worse than bald.
Which
is okay, but
I'm insecure about
Ari,
it.
I'm picturing you in a hat and I like see it.
Here's my question. What about like a fedora? Like a patty cap? I feel like I've seen
I have
patty
a hat
cap.
And a I want you to
You know, it's like the Irish boy. It's like a page boy cap, but it's like,
oh, yeah.
Like a newsboy hat.
Oh, I've worn
a
newsies plays. Hat.
It's very Irish. The only person I know who wears those. Huh. Is Irish.
The only person I know who wears those is my 70-year-old Irish father. So, yes. The data holds. I'm sure. Yes, you have.
Shall we...
We can resume.
What's this about?
Is this hat content now that you guys have signed up for? Anyway, there's a time for questions and answers.
And that's what Charlotte is saying on screen. Charlotte is basically like, look, you're becoming cynical and I want you to come to this event with me that's all about like affirmations and not being cynical anymore and like finding and believing in love.
We all have this friend
and
who's like...
Yeah. Like, believes some like, program is going to fix whatever thing it is.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Charlotte doesn't do this too often, but here it's very much... It still feels like a very Charlotte thing to do.
So a man comes walking by and he's shaking their head and he comes over and he's like, are you Carrie Bradshaw? And he's in
basically Charlotte thinks she's like, don't look up, because he's not that cute. Speaking of balding,
it turns out,
which means Carrie's editor isn't a cat who lives on her fire escape.
No,
who
he's
she
a real live white
goes
man.
Out to
have
talk
we not
to.
Met him yet?
No. Well, early on, we established Brooke has a theory that they're all in her head, that Carrie has the other three in her head. And then it spiraled. Actually, in this the first episode we did with Anna, we had this whole bit about how, like, the whole thing is in Carrie's head. She and her, like, editor is literally a cat on the fire escape. And, like, she's, yeah, you know?
That's brilliant.
So the editor's like, I've been trying to call you. And Carrie's like,
I know, you want to fire me.
And he's like, actually, like, these people want to option you for a book.
You're calling for a book. Which is also like, oh, that's how anxiety works. It convinces you it's the worst thing. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes not that.
And there's
at all.
This really schmaltzy acting moment where Sarah Jessica Parker goes, oh. And then she smiles. She goes, oh. And mm-hmm. Ari and I both laughed out loud.
I just want to know what that take is there where they're like, all right, we just want to get this one pickup. Yeah. Can you just be really happy that he wanted this? And she just out of nowhere has to go, oh.
And they kept just, the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I would so just funny. Like so, to say to Molly Shannon
and Amy Sedaris
as these two book editors.
Drinking a Cosmos.
So
and like courting Carrie and like joking. They were like, oh my God, you should write about men and men you've dated. And basically Carrie gets into this whole thing about how, you know, she's not actively writing about men anymore, and they're kind of like, what direction, like, what's the story of this book? Because they basically want her to pick like 35 of her favorite columns and then an intro and an outro, and they're like, you know, what's the theme, what's the story here? And Carrie kind of gets into this whole, you know, it's over for me thing, and they're kind of do this whole like, oh, so it's over for us too thing. In that very Sex and the City way of someone around you says something and then suddenly it alters your whole worldview and you prescribe to that only from there on out, you know.
Yeah.
Dreams.
I mean, I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that
day.
About my life. Yeah. Like when someone tells me something like, oh yeah, that play, horrible.
Oh yeah. I just
I'll be
accept
like,
it.
That play
and then
was horrible. Mm-hmm. And I can see it and be like, here's the reasons that mm-hmm. play was mm-hmm. horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, it, yeah.
Those, I have always been suggestible. And the reason I react to it so strongly in this show is because it's like a character flaw in myself, I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
They ask Carrie, they say, is Carrie Bradshaw an optimist or a pessimist? What's your point of view?
After all the breakups and the disappointments and the train wrecks, you still believe he's out there, right?
Does she?
And Carrie's not sure she does. Amy Sedaris is like, or should we just shoot ourselves now?
And I'm like, Amy Sedaris, you're killing
love
it.
The idea that we have to be dead if we don't find a fulfilling sexual partner, you know?
Well said.
Thank you.
I'm going to be dead tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're
goodbye.
All dead. We're dead right now.
We're all ghosts.
Nothing is real.
You guys, I'm so... Oh. Okay, a rare moment of Samantha and Carrie friendship.
We've had a few of these recently, actually. I feel like they're growing into this.
I like it.
Is this not a thing?
I mean, they it's do season good, five.
Well, they hate each other in real life, which is why... Oh, and really? Did through this process, which is why it's notable. They, like, publicly had it out for each other this year, literally.
Like this.
Some shit went
this
down.
This year meaning 2018?
Yes.
Or this 2018?
Yeah. I was literally in Israel.
But the story
the
is... yeah, but the story is they... hated each other even then, yeah. Which I will say, having watched this whole show, if I was Samantha,
Kim Cattrall,
I also would have been furious by the
it's
end of this
season
process.
Fucking why? Five, and she this
she
is,
gets nothing. This There's room. No interesting. This Richard is the most interesting thing that's happened to her, and this is how it's handled. You know,
yeah, really ugh. Poorly.
It does get better.
Well, I don't know
if so, if that's true, that means that she gets 15% of the show to be interesting in. Yeah. She has her moments, you know. I just mean she, I think, gets the brunt of the like. Nothing writing.
Sex.
I believe that.
Yeah, but you could argue the same thing about Cynthia Nixon.
I think that Cynthia Nixon, I don't know, maybe she just acts her
maybe,
way.
Yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe she. But I think Kim
Cattrall's
a great
so
actress,
good.
Too.
Yeah,
I would say just
good.
Writing-wise, mm-hmm, they give mm-hmm. Samantha nothing to work with. There's only so many different ways you can say raunchy things, and everyone's like, yep, that's your shtick, you know?
Yeah. I feel bad for her.
Me too.
So she's, I wondering... about just like believing.
What is the harm in believing? So, meaning she's like, am I an optimist? Am I a pessimist? Do I believe this guy is still out there for
oh
me?
Oh my God. Wait, cut to.
I had this moment.
Lipstick ask for affirmation.
Where I was like, what if every week I themed my yoga class based on Carrie's I Wonder for this week?
Like, there'd be some dark weeks.
Everybody, let's just talk about. And then it was all just became like very specific like relationship shit about like believing. Like, is there one? I couldn't help but wonder.
You do the Carrie Bradshaw. Of yoga.
Oh my God, let's market me.
Mm-hmm. No, we got to market you as musicals first. Like, let's get your niche series off the ground, and then
Are you going to be my manager?
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you too. On Monday, last night's yoga class, Brooke at the beginning was like, let's set an intention of gratitude. And I was like, great. I'm grateful that my best friend teaches yoga and brings me into all of her adventures in her life. And then I did a yoga class about being grateful for Brooke, which I forgot I didn't tell her until just anyway. Charlotte is Brooke's breathing gonna, like, in the possibility of love. I know. She's writing, I believe in love. In on lipstick. Her mirror in lipstick. I'm sorry. That's Chanel lipstick, by the way.
Also, why is she do? I like.
That's a Chanel's
just feel like
episode. Samantha's earrings were also Chanel.
They're ugly.
Chanel.
That could have been a post-it. You didn't have to use lipstick. You didn't have to use it on your mirror. It looks to me a little like horror movie.
Let me understand
that women
you to
do that kind of thing.
Television.
Okay, yeah. Sorry,
oh yeah. Do the women in your life write on their mirrors in lipstick?
Yeah. In Emily's roommate would write her notes in lipstick on the. On the mirror, and it was cute. It was like very adorable.
Actually,
Write her notes.
Would write Emily.
Oh no,
notes.
That's cute.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
Laura and I
don't understand the lipstick cutest,
moved out of our apartment, it yeah. wasn't in lipstick, but she wrote me a note on our mirror in her bathroom. That was like about.
So poor Miranda is now
meeting
Steve's mom for the first time, who apparently is slightly drunk.
She's doing really well.
She's got some nice teeth. Yeah, Miranda's doing a good job. She's being really kind. And basically, Mrs. Brady does this whole, she's like, pulls out a tiny print of Brady that she has in her wallet. And she's like, everyone on my floor at work said he looks like me. And she was like, I know you didn't want to do a baptism, but I just, when I think about that little baby burning in hell.
It's like so guilt-driven.
She's sweet. But yeah, I would be horrified to be in Miranda's position.
But Ari, at this point, when we were watching, goes, I love mom.
I love
mom. Well, she is
mom.
Sweet.
She's
Ari,
sweet.
Do you love moms?
Yeah, I got a pair of those.
They're the best.
I'm just going to like, I feel like I didn't fully introduce myself, which is totally fine because I don't know how to. You're like, talk about yourself. I'm
right.
Like,
oh. Talk about guilting us.
I mean, Jewish we didn't give you guilt. A chance to fully explain yourself.
I've two dope moms.
You do.
That's why Ari is so kind and sweet of feeling.
That's the entire reason. It's nothing to do with me or how wonderful I made myself. I'm a self-made man.
Your moms
my
are.
My moms are no one.
Your just moms kidding. Are amazing.
I love my mamas.
But I would say in particular, the relationship you have with Amy is like one of the best mom-child relationships I've witnessed
it's
in my life.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah, you have a great.
I always say like people say, you know, they talk about like the moment where they realize their parent isn't perfect. Mm. And I'm like waiting
you
for that moment.
You haven't had it with, yeah, I know.
I haven't had it with her, you know. And wow. I have an older brother, Jonah, who's also the best.
He is.
You know, I think they're good parents. And that's the thing is that I'm like, not that I turned out perfectly, certainly, but like, you know.
Don't sell yourself short.
I've had some, I feel good about, you know, the general human I've become. And I feel really good about the general human that my brother has become. And so I'm like, oh, and we're so different.
Oh my God,
so
he's like off and away, literally blasting off.
Literally blasting off. He works for SpaceX's number one competitor, Jeff Bezos's SpaceX. It's called Blue Origin in Seattle.
He's fucking building rockets.
For humans.
That's amazing.
Live in space. Anyways, sorry.
Good things though. Moms, they're great.
Dope lesbian moms.
Mrs. Brady is sweet. And honestly, she's not like, she's not laying it on as a guilt trip. It's just like, she's a little drunk.
Well, she's upset that the baby isn't like physically
basically
there.
She expected that Brady would be with Miranda when she met her. And so she's upset that she's not meeting the baby. And she's actually like kind of visibly upset with it. But as far as like crazy moms can go, especially in a situation like this when there's a grandchild involved, she's really pretty restrained. And to his credit too, when she says something, Steve's like, "Mom, Mom, you can't do that."
Yeah, it seems like they.
And he's
have
like,
a good relationship.
The mom's like, "You're not going to tell him that you're not getting married." And then they're like, "We're not going to lie to the priest."
So they're meeting because they're going to the church to like talk about the ceremony. And they meet Father Andrew, and
the mom immediately goes, "They're not getting married." And Miranda's like, "Is she drunk?" And Steve's like, "No, a couple of beers."
So Miranda's basically doing
legal.
I mean, she has her red pen in hand, and she's like, "I don't want to talk about Satan." She's going through the traditional like
she's
passages
a lawyer, right?
That would yeah.
Yeah, clearly.
The traditional passages that would be read, and she's like, "Not this, not this, not this." She's doing the equivalent of not saying "one nation under God," which I would go "one nation
under
with liberty and justice for all," pointedly in elementary school.
Okay, but look at her hair in this scene with her.
What
and
is
Carrie.
God?
She's got like a full blowout.
Gorgeous. She tells Carrie that she wants to go dress shopping, and then of course they're shopping for christening dresses for Brady, which is not what either of them want to be doing. Excuse me.
So, like, Carrie's brings up the idea of being an optimist versus being a pessimist.
Gotcha. I need the people. That's called being a human person.
I need the people to know that I'm nothing without Bridget. Mm-hmm. That's all. Okay. So they're talking. And so Carrie's talking about being a pessimist versus an optimist. And Miranda's like, have you met me? And I'm like, I get that.
Oh, I'm a deep pessimist. But I'm like simultaneously deeply an optimist.
Well,
like,
that's what I was going to ask. I paused it because I wanted to ask if you
think. I know that's the most asinine answer I could have given to that question. Here's the thing. I am big picture optimist. I am about the world and people and my life and things working out. I'm pessimist about every little detail along the way.
I like to think that, like, I'm similar.
I'm a healthy balance. That's not fair to say. I'm not, actually. I just have a low opinion of myself and my emotional life, and so I don't give it enough credit. Sorry. The way I describe myself on this podcast makes me sound like the most insufferable. I have to like talk my way around every perspective of every issue and like, no, but that's not really fair because this. I can't just like have an opinion and stick with it. I can't even degrade myself properly.
We all feel that way.
Anyway.
Bridget just folded in on herself though. She was like very confident being like, here's my opinion on pessimism and optimism. And then it was like, no, really, I just hate
that's
myself.
My pessimism.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
And that's being alive, that folks. Is, anyway, alive. You two talk
I was about to
now.
Say the same thing, though. I mean, we interrupted Brooke, but I feel the same of, like, I...
Oh, I just got quiet because I got overwhelmed because I feel a lot about both of these things.
Pessimism and optimism?
Yes, ma'am.
I feel like I feel like I am optimistic with other people. Like, in a difficult situation, I'm like, totally, let's help. Here's how we can improve. Like, I know exactly what we can do together. And then when it's myself, I'm like, no, let me stay in my spiral of despair. This is fun and comfortable here, you know?
I love the spiral of despair. I've been camping
so
out
easy.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy.
So Miranda asks Charlotte to... Nope. Miranda asks Carrie to be Brady's godmother. And Carrie's like, why me?
Well, she's also, yeah, it's a weird response. Mm-hmm. I think my instinctual answer when my best friend was like, will you do this lovely thing for me? Would be like, yes. And then maybe ask about some of the details later.
Yeah, agreed.
It's kind of a weird, like, you do that thing?
No.
So they go to this affirmation thing. They all take an affirmation. Carrie's being very Carrie about it. And then she starts complaining about the godparent stuff and how weird it is. And Charlotte, I think kind of reasonably, because... Again, I think Carrie's response to all of this was super weird, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because being a godparent to me, the people who I know who have godparents they love, it has nothing to do with religion. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, it's not even a concept. Mm-hmm. But Charlotte's basically like, I would have killed for that job. You know, essentially, it's not a job. But she's basically just like, please don't talk shit about that to me who would have been overjoyed to be this child's godparent.
I've had that experience before where like... people are like, ugh, I can't believe like this thing is happening to me, or like blah blah blah, and you're like, can you just like take a minute and mm-hmm. like look, like read the room,
or even that's all it is, where it's like, actually you're so valid in having those feelings, especially people who are like, say, successful in your dream field, and then when they complain about things, it's hard to be like, R-r-r-r. But when it's something specific too, where you're like, you, if you thought about it for more than 20 seconds, you would understand, or 2 seconds honestly, you would know who you were talking to. And that's just not the person to complain to. And like totally. With Charlotte in particular, I imagine they've had a friendship of thinking like, what do I tell Charlotte in this moment? And like, Carrie is being a little tone deaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Classic Carrie. And well, so they have this thing, and this woman is like, well, you told me I was going to find love, and so I prayed for it. Well, I prayed for love.
That hasn't happened yet, though. I think we cut to...
Yeah, that we just got them, like, sitting down. But I think what is important is that
it's okay.
Carrie
I do that
is,
every episode.
Carrie is sort of shitting on Charlotte's... game where Charlotte is like clearly sad. I don't know. I'm like, Charlotte is sad and like needs support and love and mm-hmm. and happiness right now.
Well,
and like,
the whole context of her
like,
divorce
back then,
I don't know if you
not,
know this.
No,
but
I
the
don't.
Whole context of her divorce is that she wanted to have a baby, they couldn't, and then Trey was like, we don't need to have a baby. So she's deeply upset about this all for baby
I've
reasons.
Lost it all.
Yeah. So like, and she was the one who was like, I'm going to throw you a baby shower. And then of course did a very Charlotte, like, no, I have to hide all my baby evidence. Yeah. Like, meh, 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 meh. But it really is a moment of like, Carrie, just, you have other friends, you have other places, you have other whatever.
Just
you know?
Buck up. And like, Carrie, just like,
just
support
not this one
your
thing.
Friend, dude.
Yeah. It's
your
a moment where Carrie's a human, you know, as the hero, you're like, well, there she is being Carrie.
Again, I think it is really cool in terms of like TV, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of like what we see on TV now of an sort of an anti-hero or like someone who is clearly imperfect.
But yeah, I don't think that they would have identified her as such.
Definitely not.
Not in this, yeah.
But I think you're right that we have, as audiences, have a different appetite or different like reception mm-hmm. for especially female characters who aren't just awesome or fulfilling whatever, or are flawed or are anti-heroes or mm-hmm. are, I think Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's a great example of that, where honestly I like had to socialize myself into enjoying it because I was kind of put off by the character at first but then that's becomes like the joy of the show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a really smart, really cool show.
And I think it's jarring in this because it's not what's happening most of the time, and then you see Carrie being an asshole and you kind of have to, especially if you identify with her as like the main character and the kind of slate for your emotional into the show, then you're forced to kind of be like, oh, Carrie's kind of being an asshole, and like, how do I treat my friends in these moments?
Exactly. Yeah.
So Richard and Samantha are at dinner, and he's like trying to be like, he's very like,
he's making self-deprecating jokes, he's being very nice,
and she's like pushing it a little bit. And she's sort of like, okay, listen, well, you're going to go to Miranda's baptism with me on Sunday.
It'll be boring. It'll be all day.
And it's mandatory.
And he says, what time? And she says, 2.
And she brings her
hand up to her mouth for now the third time in this episode. Here is the crux of me being like, Samantha. Because here's the thing. Granted, it's very, very fresh. But I feel pretty firmly, you either are back in, and then you're back in, mm-hmm. or you're not. What you don't do is some middle ground, constant guilt tripping. Like, I understand he has shit to atone for, but the answer to that is he's not someone you want to be with.
Yeah.
Or he is, and you've chosen to forgive those things, and you guys are going to, like, progress from here. This whole episode is her being like, yes, I'm back with him, and defending it, and then being a piece of shit to him. Which, like, yes, he is too, but, like, you're choosing to be back in this situation with him.
Yeah, and so a woman walks by and, like, Richard doesn't even turn, and it's like, is Samantha ready to forgive him?
Has he proven himself enough to her?
Is the crux of this issue.
Which, like, why would you get back with him before? No, it's not. It's not like he's now suddenly magically a switch has flipped and he doesn't notice other women. He's making a choice to not notice that woman who, like, walks by and tries to get his attention.
Right.
Like, he is making choices every step of the way here.
And, like, and the show even sort of indicates that. It, like, shows the woman, shows him still
like
looking
trying really hard.
And Samantha,
like, noticing her, right. Noticing him.
But, like, as a guy, I've been in that position where I'm like, I know that I can't look to my left right mm-hmm. now or my right. And, like, I just can't. Mm-hmm. I gesture to my right when I said my left, everyone. And so.
It's our left.
It was for everyone stage else. Left. The stage left. I can't look at stage left because there's a you know, a person that my partner or whomever might find sort of, you know, I don't know, might make them insecure, threatening, anything, or even just,
which,
like,
is also an interesting thing, because I would say on the flip attention. Side, yeah. I don't think that's something I've really thought about so much. There are definitely moments. I mean, it's a human decency thing, but I don't think I police that in the same way for myself. And I would say that's maybe because there's a whole, like, cultural thing that's like, men check out women and they can't help themselves and women get insecure about it. And I mean, I think what it is the idea of just, like, being aware of potential, like, sexual partners, and we're going to boil it down, like, to that. Yeah. And like being on one side or the other.
The animal instinct too, that just, like, comes out.
What you notice your partner doing, what you do. Yeah. And I think it boils down to respect, because there's definitely a line. But I also think that, like, especially if you choose to be monogamous with someone for most of your life, like, you're just going to see people who you want to look at.
And trust. And I think that there's such a distinct difference of, like, seeing someone and being like, wow, look at that butt. Or, you know what I mean? Like, some sort of, like, wow, they look gorgeous. And then acting on that. And I think that that distinction is sort of glossed over here, where he actually acted on it. He cheated. He did something with another woman. And that she, you know, like, she's impressed by him not looking. But I actually would reverse that and say, like, I mean, it's fine. You know, I don't know.
Again, the bar is buried how low in the ground?
I feel like you could cut the, like, tension of him not looking with a knife.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather him just sort of, like,
glance and be like, wow, look at her. She's dressed
It would
up.
Actually have seemed more like, natural, because that's the thing. Because half of the time when you, like, turn your head to look at someone, it's because, as my old theater teacher used to say, people are dinosaurs and they look at motion. And if someone walks by your table, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to glance up at them anyway. And the fact him, like, pointedly, like, not looking
makes it weirder.
It makes it worse. It's a weird choice.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're at this part I thought we were at before.
Yes.
Where this woman is talking about how, like,
the woman who's giving this whole like affirmation speech thing.
She's wearing this really crazy suit. She looks like a robot. Mm-hmm. And this woman's like, I prayed for love and I thought I would win and I manifested love and then my affirmations
every day.
And last week I fell in love. And Charlotte. And
he's perfect. He's everything I could imagine.
Sort of like, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. And she does this whole thing where she stands up and she's like, I don't know how to make myself believe anymore because I say my affirmations, but it's never going to chunk in. And the woman on stage is like, well, maybe you need to try harder. And
she's like, I don't know if it's going to work out for me.
And she explains, she's like, actually, no, listen, I did find love. Mm-hmm. And then it was wonderful. And we had a beautiful wedding. And then it all fell apart. And now I don't believe anymore. And he took that belief from me. And I'm so angry that he did, which I also understand that feeling of like having something taken for you without your, from you, your belief, your whatever, your trust, your, all of those things.
Your optimism in a way.
Totally. Totally relevant to this episode. Yeah. And then, and they have this like hilarious long mic to reach into the audience so people can speak. And Carrie like grabs it. And because the woman's basically like, maybe you're not really putting yourself out there. And Carrie's like, she is, trust me. And the woman's like, no, physically and emotionally, you have to really put yourself out there. Which is where you're like, yep, this is the money making scam.
Yeah.
Also, and Carrie says, that's not true. I think that holding yourself back at least a little bit and feeling like you're yourself rather than you for someone else, like being confident in yourself, I think is the best way to like attract a mate. You know?
I also have to say that the best
we're on Animal Planet now.
Best like romantic connections I've ever had have all 2-1 come at times when I've been like not looking for that.
Yeah.
Or not putting myself out in that way.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. I feel like I have this conversation. It's like, when you go out with a group, and especially in women, like, I had this conversation with a girl. It's, like, the one girl that, like, in this group of friends that, of this girl that I was talking to, like, the girl who gets the most attention is the one who puts out, like, and I don't mean to say that, and I don't say this with, like, a judgmental vibe, because obviously I don't know this girl. I've never met her. I've never seen her. But, like, help me vibes. Mm-hmm. Like, like,
women who choose to play damsel and then watching men fall for it and being furious with her, furious with him, furious with yourself that you could do the same thing. Because
I
have a thing
where I'm like, when I'm feeling like good and confident about myself and I go out, I feel like no one wants to approach me. Mm-hmm. My energy, the like pheromones that I'm putting out are like, do not approach, which is like not what I want. But it's like, and I don't know if that's just like New York has jaded me. Like for like the majority of my day, those like, I'm like, do not fucking talk to me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But have you watched Elder Millennial yet?
No.
You should.
Okay.
I just think it's really interesting.
Put it on the watch list, everyone. Elder Millennial.
And Explained. I want to watch Explained, too.
Yeah.
Put
it
on the list.
It's Netflix and Vice, right?
Yeah.
They like work together.
I think I've read about this recently, actually.
It's really good.
Yeah. So now we're at
We're at the baptism. Carrie's wearing a weird little... She's wearing like a big flower on her head.
Which means maybe she's open to love, which means maybe we're going to meet a love interest soon.
This guy... Who from the side, I'm going to have to show you. He's like a less cute version of my friend's dad to a T. It shocked me.
I don't like
But basically this guy comes up to Carrie and he's like, you with the thing on your head, like, are you the godmom? I'm the godfather. And he like does this whole, and you're like, the godfather,
like little callback or, and, you know, reference.
Yeah. And he like introduces himself to her and he's like, wouldn't this make a great story for our kids?
Oh, and he kisses her hand. Anytime you kiss someone's hand without them offering for you to kiss their hand, bad news.
Real choice.
Bad news bears. We don't want that.
Have you ever like kissed a lady's hand?
I've kissed a lady's hand either in jest or in like, this is a true formality. In this moment, I have to kiss your hand. You know, like prom or something, right, where it's like, sure. And now,
where did you go to prom? The 1870s?
Yeah, I went to prom at the 1870s. I went to prom in suburban Wisconsin. Mm. I also dated someone from Kentucky for a while. Mm. So there were a lot of sort of Southern traditions.
I forgot about that.
Mother Maya.
I actually, this just, so I bizarre. Just remembered that I did a bit for about 2 years of my life. Until it stopped getting the reaction I wanted, which was everyone telling me how fucking cute and funny I was.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
Stop telling you.
Thank you.
You're so fucking cute.
I told you this story when I was probably 5 and we were at the dinner table and my sister Mara, who I now live with, said out of the blue, you used to be so cute. What happened? And I burst into tears. Aww. Had like a full night meltdown. Anyway, this is the bit I used to do. I would take someone's hand and I would go, I will kiss the hand that I love. and then turn it at the last second and kiss my own hand.
Oh, that's a good bit.
Anyway, so
that seems like a good bit that would definitely run out. Like, it would eventually end.
Yes, definitely.
My siblings used to go Baruch Atah Adonai, that's good. And I would sob.
Oh yeah, well, my name is
another Jew reference.
My initials were BRBM, which I of course did not realize until my sister gleefully informed me stands for bowel movement and used to be like a 90s word for poop. And I was like, fine, I'm gonna go by BDM for the rest of my life. And she was like, that's fine, if you say it out loud it spells bottom, which is basically bottom.
God. Was this Mara?
Yes, of course it was.
I hate her.
Oh, the stories.
I live with her too. I love Mara.
The stories I can tell you about the things Mara put me through. She also did something called Kids Corner, where she like made whole lesson plans and like sheets, worksheets, play things for me in the corner of our playroom. She also, for like 2 years when I was just learning how to use the toilet, I hated pooping in the potty, and she would sing me the poopy potty song, which was different every time. Some variation of, like, you unhook the right strap, you unhook the left strap of your overalls and pull them down. It was, catered to what I was doing, wearing, and that was the only way I would poop for years. So, love her. She's the best. She also tortured me.
Well.
Anyway.
The good, the bad. Baptism.
Balance.
I asked Ari.
We sure this isn't about my childhood?
I think it should be.
We were talking about baptism versus circumcision.
I was like,
what do you think is worse, getting water thrown on you without your consent or getting the tip of your penis cut off?
I bet you had no strong feelings about it.
She said, wait, save it for the pod. Don't answer now. Save it.
Don't answer.
So now I'm like on the spot.
Yeah. Now we're on the pod.
Let's hear it.
I would rather straight up have the tip of my penis cut off because
I went there too. Because of the wonderful things foreskin does.
No, this is the thing. Because of the wonderful things that not having a foreskin does. Like, I'd rather get that trimmed.
I was going to say, you're a baby.
Fuck right? I'm not going to remember it.
Fuck the foreskin.
It's gone. It happens. It's done. Now we move on. As opposed to, if I were indoctrinated
into Catholicism.
Listen, we all know that I couldn't tell an uncircumcised penis from a circumcised penis.
Really? Even after you had used one.
For months.
I didn't know that.
Months I interact
in Ireland, because most of us, like, of my like Canadian and American friends, we like hadn't really come into contact with them too much. And of course Irish boys are also, I mean, basically outside of America it's like not that common to be circumcised, just across the board. And we used to refer to them as automatic versus stick, because my friend and her host mom started referring to it in front of the kids that way. Then we all just picked up.
Which was automatic?
To say something after
automatic
off
was
air.
Uncircumcised.
No, circumcised.
Yeah.
Stick, automatic, you have to do a little more work. Yeah, you know, sure, you have to know how to do all the gears and everything.
That's
and
a lot of.
Yeah.
I don't know. The thing is, I don't have that much exposure with penises.
Right.
You might.
What?
Guys, I'm only straight. I don't know how many times I need to say this in the podcast.
He doesn't
I'm
gag on dicks.
Straight. Yeah. Oh my God.
Whatever. I just wanted to take it there.
I've never gagged on a dick.
You're missing out.
That's because Bridget's a virgin.
That's right.
That's a bit I don't get. But I do get that I've never seen, like, I've never seen a hard penis. Like, I've never.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess.
Even in, like,
I've seen
the mirror?
One. Yeah, I've
okay,
seen
wait,
one.
Here's
it's
my
mine,
question. You watch straight porn, I assume.
I guess I've seen. Yeah, I meant live. I meant,
oh, yeah,
I meant
yeah,
live
like
in
person.
Live. Other than that straight porn.
So I'm
going to
go
live. Live. New York.
Yeah, when I was on set for that porn that I did. Mm-hmm. What?
What?
You were the fluffer.
I was the fluffer.
That's right.
Let's just finish this
episode. Anyway, should we talk about Sex in the City? Yeah.
So they're at the baptism. And
Carrie has a moment where she's handed the baby. And she's very stressed about it before. She's like, I got a nice dress. I didn't want Brady to outshine me. But she's also like, are you sure Charlotte would really like to do this? And they have a really sweet moment of Miranda being like,
you're my best friend.
And more so than that too, Miranda's like, I don't believe in any of this, but I believe in you. You are my best friend. I want you to be connected. And if this day is going to be about something meaningful to me, this is how you make it
meaningful.
And
they are saying the prayer, and it cuts to Magda, which I think is now Miranda's like mother figure. And then
she comes,
Steve's
right.
mom. And then, Richard is like saying the prayer, and Samantha does this like fucking campy look to
where she's like, there isn't enough salvation or holy water in the world for you. And then he takes her hand. And I'm like, this is the worst flirting of all time.
The worst flirting.
Oh, you guys are just reminding each other sexually of the time he cheated on you. Cool.
This was like,
and yeah. Carrie gets handed the baby. I didn't know the godparent holds the baby mm-hmm. while the water is poured is
that
a over thing? Them.
I actually did know that because of TV.
Interesting. Oh. Well, I've also seen baptisms where they're truly just dunked, but they do a lovely little drizzling of the holy water. And Carrie has a really sweet moment where it's just like she's there, she's holding mm-hmm. the baby, and she can feel how significant it is.
And Stevie, I love the moment
you
see
it's a prop. You're just like, that's no longer a baby.
There's two shots where it's a baby, and then all of a sudden it's a prop.
It's not a baby.
It's not a baby.
Samantha and Richard are leaving.
And she says, thank you so much. Miranda says, I didn't do anything. Samantha says, you got me to a church. And Richard says, just for the record, I did get scared. Which I'm like, damn, if you're trying to quietly justify yourself to a woman's friends, you've probably already shat the bed.
Yep. And then they all three kind of like approach,
watch them leave and they're like shaking their heads. And Miranda and Carrie look so frustrated. And Charlotte's like, I don't know, maybe things will work out between them.
And then Carrie decides to dedicate her book to her, the eternal optimist.
It's a moment for everyone of being like, oh, look, because Carrie and Miranda are like, what the fuck, Charlotte? Who was talking about killing him? And you're like, oh, Charlotte believes again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait, what happened? Did she decide for herself? Did the baby do it? Did Carrie standing up for her do it? Because nothing has changed. And so Carrie goes home, and with bad grammar, missing a couple commas, Brooke, that's you. Get in there and slide those commas in.
I'm on it.
She dedicates it to all the single women who have hope out there, but one in particular, Charlotte.
But I think that the message of the episode is that, like, she's so totally lost, Carrie, in this, and doesn't mm-hmm. know what to write about and doesn't know what's happening. And then finds purpose in her friend. You know, she like
yeah.
really supports Charlotte at that weird like mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. affirmation conference, and it's like the one that actually is the affirmation.
Right.
Yeah. And then ends up being like what seems like a wonderful godmother, yes. and like ends up sort of stepping up and taking care of her friends, and like that.
It's almost like there's more to life than your romantic partner.
And there's more to life, yeah, exactly. And more to life than work, and more to life than writing about your yeah. existence, and like.
Well, and it's also this whole thing where like you again, like I said about anxiety earlier, but you know she gets a call from her editor and assumes it's about her being fired, and it's yeah. like actually even while you didn't think you were doing your best work, other people were noticing and supporting and excited by you and like
yeah.
excited by what you do, and your friends support you, and you know, it's a good. I was going to say there's a lot of strong friendship in this episode yeah. that comes out, and I do like it for that reason.
And she yeah. comes along
with
it.
Which is why we get Ari on, because...
Strong female friendship. That was my first thought.
All right. Ari Herschel.
Shana Tova. Yeah.
Shout out to all my Tovas out there. Yeah. Dip your apples in honey.
Hey, honey.
Who did you relate to?
Did you resonate
I'm so glad
with?
We have that bit like six times with? Now.
What the
all of it. Yeah,
who did I relate to in this episode? I think you know it's nonsense, but I think I related to Carrie in exactly what I was talking about, where I feel like when I look down too hard or I look too much at like what I'm doing, I feel lost and afraid and like I don't know exactly where I'm going and directionless. And I had a really good therapy session about that today. And shout out Regina.
Yes, another lovely therapist add to this podcast.
But that I do feel such purpose when my friends need help, or like, or mm-hmm. when I feel like I can be useful for other people, and it really makes me so happy, like truly happy to be able to help people.
Not know? To be your therapist.
Yeah, please.
But do you think that's partially why you like being in a relationship so much?
Oh,
not
totally.
Help explicitly, because it's you're not someone who like picks broken people you have to fix. I mm-hmm. don't mean that.
No, yeah.
But I mean like, because you love being in a relationship.
I do. I love it. And I think that, yeah.
Does it fulfill the same like...
Yeah, it's like I can think about, and recently I've figured it out, like I can think about something besides myself, and again when I look at myself I just spiral, and it goes back to what we were talking about with pessimism and optimism. But when I am at the store and I'm like, oh, what should I buy for myself, oh, all these snacks that I you know like don't like that much that make me feel sick mm-hmm. but that I'm like somehow addicted to, or like you know I'll buy alcohol or I'll whatever mm-hmm. and then I'm like, oh, I could buy this kombucha for Emily, and there's something that's so fulfilling about being like I can think about another person and feel good about myself mm-hmm. and that is how I get up every day in a way
yeah.
and that like there are people that it's not a, yeah you're right, it's not damsel in distress, but it's people that
it's feeling the needed, things. Feeling like you can make someone's life better and
just a little easier, just a little. Yeah. So I feel like a bit of a connection to Carrie in that she sort of learned that lesson. I think that was valuable.
Brooke?
Samantha, actually. Hmm. I'm worried that I'm going to be the one that, like, is I have an irrational fear of dating someone that my friends disapprove of, that my friends won't tell me. And so I or like knowing that my friends disapprove and doing it anyway.
Have you done that before?
I
get that.
I don't think I have done it before. Well, I've almost done it. And I have a relationship where I'm like, I feel like I'm defending constantly. And I feel like in a lot of my relationships, I feel like I'm defending the errors of the person that I care about.
Oh, I get that. Hardcore. I know.
And
how exhausting that is.
I think it's part of why I came to bat so hard.
Yeah, you did.
Because I'm like, I get
you
it.
Know what that's like,
people
have
flaws. People have faults. But I will try to. It's like sort of what my brother was talking about last week. It's like I'm very, because of how I grew up, like I don't want to hold a grudge. I would rather try to see the good in someone. And so I think almost to a fault, I'll be like, well, we can't really hate this person because of this. Like, these are maybe the reasons that justify why this person did the thing that they did or whatever. Or it was like an error or a misstep and now they're changing and whatever. And I just, I worry that I'm like Samantha, where I present to something or someone who is very strong and like secure, but it's actually very like weak and looking for like something specific, you
that
know?
She like won't acknowledge.
Yeah, I think that's the Samantha part of me, is the mask part of me.
And that's so relatable, I think, that we're all, yeah.
Because especially I think I'm, New York. Yeah, I think that I'm also just like someone who like prides myself on being like super open and vulnerable.
Yeah.
But I also know that there's like, that the level of that I don't share with people, and that I is like actually like the scariest part of me, and is like very rare to get. And I think you two have gotten it a little bit, but like there are things, like even last week in therapy, I was like, I won't even say this out loud to myself, and I have to say it out loud to you because like this is why I'm paying you.
Yeah.
But
no, I get that very much. I think that's kind of where you and I cross over, is that both of us live our lives as open books, and I do it as a defense mechanism, and I also do it as a, like, the things that I feel bad about, I'm like very verbal and open about, but I do it. I've talked about this before, I think, but I do it as a protective mechanism of like, look, I'm doing the work. I'm aware of it. And then I don't do anything. It's like the acknowledging of, but it's, also the stuff that then doesn't get talked about is the like actual deep shit that.
Yeah. It's this hard balance. I was talking to Ari about this like 2 hours ago about like the balance between your right brain and your left brain. It's like, I know that I am aware of the things, but I'm like, I also know that my like emotional self is like the one that will, like, eclipse.
Yeah, I would say just it's explicitly about that, like, I have gone through a situation too where like I explicitly told a lot of people, where I was like, I both know I'm burning a bridge, and I also, like, between the person I'm telling and the person on the other end of the story, but I also did that really explicitly as like a protective mechanism so that I wouldn't cross the bridge again, because I'm also so afraid of that, or like my friends or my, or people who I love who've supported me, like being disappointed in something I do. And there's something really strong about setting up mechanisms for yourself where you're like, these people know, and so I can't get away with the shame and silence of like doing the thing in quiet. And
even though I think people would be supportive of you at some level, being like, yeah, whatever makes you
happy. In the way that I would also go home and be like,
I can't,
here are all the reasons that I feel upset that this
that's
person's doing this to themselves.
Yeah, my friends go home and do that about me.
Totally.
Which I don't think they are. And I don't think, no. I don't think I have cultivated a group of people that would do that, but.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was all to say, I think I feel similarly. I feel about Samantha, because Samantha is doing the like version of what I won't do, but that like I could see happening, you know, where you like it's and again, I would just say as a maybe disclaimer to the people who listen to this and just hear me being like rude about this show week after week, is that I pretty much across the board, the stuff that I am the most judgmental of them about is stuff that I am judgmental about myself about, or fearful about myself doing.
It's interesting. It's like I'm watching Bachelor in Paradise right now.
So is Emily. She loves it.
And it's horrible. It's trash.
Yeah.
But every week they'll be talking about something and I'll be like, I get that.
Yeah.
Like, I understand what she's coming from. I'm like, no. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm like, oh, but I just like want to shove a dagger into my stomach, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know that feeling.
But I think that, yeah. That's like the cool, the thing that I actually liked most about this watch is that I'm like, oh, I connect with, you know, like even,
yeah,
you know,
there we are, just had there a podcast ways, about it, right? Yeah.
I feel like I connected with
and in women some ways you're men. Like, yeah, yeah, totally. In some ways you're like, this show is not based in reality. And in some ways you're like, they do get to some emotional hearts, mm-hmm. sometimes not in the places they're trying to. I mm-hmm. think that's what's most fascinating about this show, at least for me watching it 20 years later, mm-hmm. is I'm like, there are real hot zones and like moments where they get deep into things, and often those are not the moments where they're trying to.
And this episode wasn't even really one
it
of
wasn't
them.
At all.
Mm-hmm. But I also just like to come back on your point. Yeah. I just feel that so hard of the people in my life who, you know, I've had falling outs with, or that I you know, strongly disagree with consistently, or you know, that I just don't like, and that often they have a quality or two or three or four or 10 of a quality that I don't like in myself, like really don't like
of
in
course.
Myself,
yeah.
or that I'm afraid to bring out in myself. Yeah. And then they have it so blatantly, like that's part mm-hmm. of their personality that mm-hmm. they just wear it on their sleeve. And I feel like I just can't respond well to that. I'm like, oh yeah. God, no, you're supposed to put that away and
yeah.
compartmentalize that deep down in your stomach
and never
think about it.
All of my deepest judgments are of other people are things that I'm like terrified about of myself or yeah. judge myself for. Yeah.
What a lesson.
Human nature, am I right?
Yeah. And it goes hand in hand, I think, with that. It's like the flip side of the coin is remembering that like everyone else is thinking about themselves as much as you're thinking about yourself, and that like probably they aren't noticing. But then I go into spirals with myself where I'm like, oh,
how
but
much am I thinking about other people?
Yeah, I judge everyone around me. Of course they're judging me.
Yeah.
I think it's why I'm so reluctant to be a Carrie, because it's like, I don't like those qualities in me.
Hmm.
And I've talked about it.
Yeah.
But let's like make it a little peppier, shall we?
Shall we?
Ari, let's talk about your Delta ups, Delta downs.
Should we talk about ploppability real fast?
Oh my God, sorry. I totally
no, that's okay.
Forgot.
That's okay. Because that can be up too. Ploppability is what we say. If you took this episode and plopped it into 2018, would it work or not? Like what parts would have to be adjusted?
Yeah, I think a lot of parts would work. I think so too.
I think this is pretty across the board.
I think
the
like people whose families are religious are going to be like contentiously religious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
contentious
about friendship.
Is my favorite word.
Contentious.
It's a great one.
Contention? No, just contentious.
Any variation on contentious.
Sure.
I agree. I think
it's
pretty plausible. Yeah, Samantha's storyline exists in another timeline. Mm-hmm. Charlotte's does. It probably wouldn't take the exact form of this like thing they go to.
No, it absolutely
you think
those
it would
exist.
Those
oh,
exist.
They do. Yeah. I know. Okay, exist. You're right. She'd still go. Charlotte actually still would go, and in fact, it would be a more interesting scene in 2018 than it is in.
Or it'd be like an online forum or
no,
something.
Right. That's what I was thinking too. Is that you like?
It's
do
like a fucking Gabrielle. Like I love her and I believe in her and I'm reading her books and like whatever. Yeah. But it's like a Gabrielle Bernstein.
Yeah.
Like
I see that.
The mm-hmm. universe. Like
right.
Where
right.
does the universe take mm-hmm. you? If
even
you, like,
just like The Secret, you know, like mm-hmm. that shit. Like
it's that
people
shit.
Buy in. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and
or those.
That's not to say that I don't like have the universe has your back cards and like have it. It's like believing in and truthfully and like I do like have a rose quartz around my neck right now and I'm a yoga teacher, but like.
Yeah.
I still am like,
reality, you know? Yeah.
I think another really quick, just like the whole premise of this episode is based on the fact that Carrie thinks she's going to get fired from this newspaper because she's like, even the important people are getting fired. And I'm like, yeah, look
also
at newspapers.
Yeah.
You know, right. That was like the first
Except
thing
she'd
that
be like,
commented on.
Honestly, it'd be like Gotham closing watched. And then.
Yeah. It'd be
and
like,
then
yeah.
Having to figure out what you do in your.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Delta right. ups, Delta downs. What's your rose and thorn of the week?
My rose and thorn of the week. I would say my thorn is that Emily, my girlfriend.
My girlfriend.
My girlfriend. Mine.
If we wed, we wed.
Inside joke that
everyone gets. Hi, everyone.
But my thorn is that Emily moved first to Colorado, which is where she's from, to get her stuff, and then really to California for graduate school,
new adventure.
Which is like so exciting
and
but
sad.
But in this moment, I am also sad about it.
I feel for you deeply.
But my rose, other than this has been a freaking blast, and I want to come back forever. And this is my
Great.
Favorite thing in the world, and it feels so cathartic. But other than this, is that
remember when you were nervous? Weird.
I'm still nervous, but that on Sunday, I got to watch so much football.
I'm so happy for you.
You did Mamma Mia Sculpt. No, I'm just
kidding. I didn't do Mamma Mia Sculpt. I feel bad about it. But instead,
you can't see me shaking my head and rolling my eyes.
Classic. I watched the Packers, go Green Bay Packers, totally trounce the Chicago Bears. They were down 20,
all right, I'm sorry.
20
this
to nothing.
Is not a podcast.
No, I
want to
hear it.
And then Aaron Rodgers, who was injured in the first half, they thought he tore his ACL. He comes back in the second half out of nowhere, and then we won 24-23 on a touchdown within 2 minutes.
It was a very exciting game of football.
I literally just screamed in a bar. Mm-hmm. I lost my voice. It was unbelievable.
I'm so happy for you. You have football again.
We can all pray to Aaron Rodgers tonight. You know?
Can we?
Well, I can.
One nation under Aaron Rodgers, Aaron. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What a callback.
Bridget.
Well done. Thank you.
You're welcome. My Delta down, this is going to shock no one that I'm talking about the weather, but we did this weird thing where it went from 80 to being 60 and like raining and nasty. Here's the thing. I love fall. And we're going to be back to 80 this week, so it doesn't really matter. I just hope we get fall is my point. I don't want to go from 80 degrees and muggy to 60 and raining. I just want some nice crisp days. That's all.
It's also dark out again.
It does. I had a good but like really difficult therapy session today, and I'm glad I went, and that's what therapy's for. But it like kind of did that. It's like when you get a massage and then you're actually more sore for the next 24 hours, it feels like that. Like I got the box of some shit was opened that I'm now going to have to, you know, like really deal with in the next week before I go back to therapy. And that's fine. It's just being alive is hard and having emotions is hard.
But you're going to Portland, Oregon.
I love Portland. Portland's back on the pod. My Delta up is that this is only a 4-day week because I'm going home to see my oldest friend get married, which is very exciting, and I'm really happy for her. And then it's only a week and a half from when I'm going to be in Florida with Brooke's family going to Disney World. So. Also, I had an insanely long day at work, but I had a really good day at work, and I'm a super productive, valuable member of a team now, and that feels awesome. I will say. Yeah, no, I'm going to leave it at that. I was going to add another Delta down, and then why would I do that?
So. We'll talk about that's a post-game Delta down.
Yeah.
But that's, I love that.
So my roommate / lover, I don't.
Oh, also just doing yoga. I told Brooke last night, too, I've never liked a yoga class more than I liked last night, even though I was sore and like, I don't know, she's a good teacher and I'm happy about it.
I think that's a core power thing more than it's anything.
No.
I think you haven't once let me compliment you on being a teacher in the last 3 days without deflecting it, and I'm not gonna let you. Also, as I was walking out and Brooke was asking everyone how they felt, the girl in front of me was like, "You're a dream," and she was not someone Brooke knew. So I'm just here to tell everyone this isn't me talking out my ass.
I will say that Alex Seeley was in Disney World for the past week, and Alex Wiseman has been watching just like YouTube podcast documentaries about Disney World the whole week.
Out of like envy.
I like walked in this morning and he was like, "Hey," and I was like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "Just listen to this podcast about Euro Disney. It's fascinating." But it's also like very indicative of like
who you are. All of you as a collective.
My Delta up is definitely this Mamma Mia sculpt. I've never I sat down at the beginning of class. I was like, "Thank you for coming to my bar mitzvah."
That was the first thing she said when she walked in. And I'm not kidding. Every person in the room laughed. And that's when we were like, "Here we fucking go.
Again."
Again.
I honestly, though, I will say like until we were in like middle of like with the sun I'm like I'm in a blackout during class. I was like, I have no idea. I was like, Chiquitita, the karaoke accompaniment of Chiquitita that I had chosen started playing, and like someone noticed finally that it was Chiquitita, and I was like, I can't believe this is happening.
This is real. It
was just like, Brooke was like, "Yes, you are listening to the instrumental accompaniment to the Chiquitita track. Welcome to class, everyone."
It was insane.
I'm not kidding. Go watch the videos on her social media.
It was truly like the best that you can watch me like double over enjoy. And then my Delta down is that the Northwestern Wildcats are just trash at football. Oh my God, my food is here.
Food?
I sneakily ordered food.
You ordered food?
Yeah, sorry.
On the pod?
I wondered what was happening over there.
Well,
My Delta down is that Northwestern Wildcats are trash at football, and also that it's dark outside, and also that The doorbell rang.
Brooke's gonna get her food.
That's the second reference to football, and I only provided one.
That's true. Actually, there were three, and I provided the first because I was the one who brought up the Packers. So
go Pack go.
Go Pack go. I made Aria Packers cake for his birthday 2 years ago, so you know it's real.
I appreciate it.
That's all. Aria, I have a question for you.
Yep.
If you would like to be found on social media, how could we, the people, find you there?
I'm pretty sure I don't use Instagram that much, but you can Instagram find me at Ari_Shapiro.
We've got an underscore in here.
To be clear, I am not the Ari Shapiro from NPR. I have been called out
literally
many times.
Ari, he was a crossword puzzle clue too. And I was like, there's no way that it's Ari Shapiro.
And it was.
And I was like.
On the other hand, of course. Of how course. Many Ari Shapiros must there be in the world?
There's a few. I mean, there's a lot of
The
Jews,
question is,
right?
Can you eventually be Jews. More famous than the NPR Ari Shapiro?
That's my literally life goal right here.
If we will, the NPR Shapiro.
Oh my God, the NPR Shapiro.
Brooke's just open mouthed at me because I'm amazing.
Social media, ma'am, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mrs. Burt Macklin, and you can find me on Instagram at BridgetM37. And honestly, what the fuck are you doing if you haven't looked?
Wow.
She's Ari took the last photo on there. So
she's amazing as a tweeter.
That's true, but I've been slacking recently. Brookie?
You can find me on Twitter at Brooke_Wiseman.
_.
And you can find me on Instagram at Brooke Wiseman. No underscore, and I swear to God, if you put a fucking underscore in my Instagram, I will.
Find you and dip you in honey and eat you.
Bum, bum, bum.
Have a sweet new year, bitches. Bye.
Happy 5779. Love you.
Oh, I don't fucking know. You can find us collectively.
Is it 5779?
I think so.
So many years.
We are at Splat Podcast on Twitter, on
Instagram,
at
gmail.com.
Please
rate, review,
subscribe.
We love
Tell
you
us what
guys.
You feel. We want to
Talk
hear from
to
you.
Us.
We will be back next week, and then we'll be in Disney World.
Bye. Bro.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.